Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
You know, he provided a great boost. Just a player of his caliber. You know, I say it time and time again, he's, in my opinion, the best in his position in football. So, just having a player like that, you know, it's always going to give you a boost. And, you know, just being able to see him back out on the field after such a long time, you know, generally you'll be happy for him, you know, as a teammate.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Bilal Nichols, and he's a guy that's going to get himself a nice contract at the end of the year, you would hope. Anyway, he's played very well.
Interesting.
For the Bears. See what I did there? I threw another little hand
grenade. You do. I'm going to get back to that. I like that.
Thank you. And Eddie Goldman, he's talking about Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman is not available for the game. I'm going to say that now. Eddie Goldman missed last week. He tried to practice on Wednesday. He was limited. And then on Thursday, he was not able to practice, not even in a limited fashion. He did not practice. To me, that means he does not play. I just think if a guy can't put back-to-back days together, you can't even lie about it, right? You can't even pretend like, well, it's a game-time decision. You know, it could be miraculous hands that come down upon him. He's got a knee and an ankle.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like – I just think we got to be realistic about it. They got a good running game. You could really use Eddie Goldman. But guess what? I'm going to say right now that I would be very surprised if he was able to go even in a limited capacity.
Well, it was disappointing to see the injury report late yesterday afternoon and to see he did not participate, because the knee injury, you know, he comes back one day and you'd like to see him have a consecutive day. And when that doesn't happen, experience informs you to think that he's not going to play. Okay, so let's look at this. Him not playing against this Bengals team is a problem because, yeah, we talk a lot about Burrow and Chase and Burrow to Chase, and boy, they're dangerous downfield. But Joe Mixon carried the ball 29 times.
Yep.
8 times in the fourth quarter against the Vikings, and that is a sign of the offensive line getting better as the game got older, wearing the Vikings down, and Joe Mixon, like a lot of good running backs do, getting stronger. That's a problem for the Bears. If they cannot stop the run against a guy who had more yards in week one than any other running back, more attempts as well, then it's going to complicate how they're going to stop other things. Eddie Goldman at the center makes a difference. Bilal Nichols can help. And the little allusion that you made was not unnoticed by me, because I think you're trying to plant the seed. People need to prepare. If the Bears have to make a decision in the offseason between investing in a defensive lineman between Bilal Nichols and Akeem Hicks, it's likely to be Bilal Nichols. Is that what you're suggesting?
I think he's younger. I think he's cheaper. I don't know that they can you know how I feel about Akeem. I think he's a hell of a player, and yeah. I think that he's got to stay healthy all year long. It's not like he's 39. But I do think that they're going to have a decision to make at the end of the year, and they're going to have to deal with it. Listen, they got a lot of cap issues. They got and somebody was where did I read it? It might have been Bigsy. Hey, are you gonna give Roquan Smith an extension in season? And the answer is, I think it was his mailbag, there's no money. How are you going to give him an extension in season? You got like $3 million under the cap. You had to redo Jimmy Graham's contract. He's going to cost you $1.165 million until 2025. That's what they had to do in order to just get some functioning money cleared up for this year.
Actually, the fact that they can't do that underscores just how badly they've backed themselves into a corner when it comes to the salary cap. That's a looming big picture problem.
Yes.
That's something that the Bears would prefer that nobody notice, and maybe they can just kick the can down the road a little bit further. They need to change the subject starting Sunday. They need to do something on the field that gives their fan base something to celebrate. And because the biggest source of optimism has been the player who isn't even a starter yet, Justin Fields, in the offseason. And on Sunday night against the Rams, very little else happened to get excited about. So that's got to change starting Sunday. It's going to be difficult now without Eddie Goldman. But they have to start getting better in the secondary. The front seven, you have to think, is going to play adequately, if not better. But the biggest issues for me, the primary concern is the secondary. I keep saying that, but that's truth. You need better play out of your safeties, and you need better play out of your corners, whoever the nickelback may be, because Matt Nagy was protecting that information very, very tightly yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that indicates to me that they're going to be making a move on that. I think that if it was the same guy, you'd say, oh, we're going with our guys. If you're making a change, you're more likely to be to be hesitant about admitting.
So you're talking like a veteran NFL football guy, all right? You've been around a lot of teams. You heard yesterday, you saw the injury report, and you've in the last 10 minutes, you've declared Eddie Goldman out of the game, and Duke Shelley's going to start. And I'm not arguing with you, but I think that what you're doing is you're reading between the lines here, and what you hear and what you see. Yeah, I mean, this is the way the practices go, and you hear from coaches, and you see injury reports, you put 2-2 together. The Bears are likely to be without Eddie Goldman and probably benching Marquise Christian on Sunday.
Probably.
Go Bears.
I feel stronger about Eddie Goldman not playing just because of the fact that he missed time in training camp. He didn't have an off season at all and couldn't practice last week, and now goes to one practice and can't come back the second day. So that tells you that you know you have a guy. Give it a shot, and then you monitor how he feels the next day. Oh, no, he can't go. That's not a good sign for a Sunday. I mean, that's just not. I'm not trying to overreach on it. The whenever somebody is defensive and careful about what they say about who's starting, who isn't, they don't want a flat-out lie. But, you know, if you really believed in someone, you'd say so. I honestly think, and this is a ridiculous statement to make, that they can play better on defense. That they will get better and they will play better. The thing that really bothered me was that energy quote.
Yeah,
that bothered me, man.
See,
that was
it's been an interesting, odd, awkward week at Hallis Hall, because when you have a veteran who knows what a team looks like and what it feels like to have a defense energized, motivated, stimulated, all those things, no energy.
Sunday night football.
That's an indictment.
Prime time opener.
That's a problem.
The whole league watching you, and you're, you know, it's kind of, I guess I'll go through the game. You can't play like that. You can't live like that. You can't, you know, if you don't have energy, create it. False energy. Give me something. You can't go through the motion.
Yeah.
It's not a walkthrough.
Yeah, you can't be a thinking man's defense if you are a defense that plays without that kind of vitality or without that kind of heart. You need to have that, because it's the last thing you want to become known for, and it's the last thing you want to hear from a veteran player who has been around a little bit, that your week one opener, your defense lacked energy under the primetime lights of a new stadium against an offense that good. You should be jacked to play and to take on that challenge. So That was disconcerting. Okay, seer of sooth or sayer of sooth, what's going to happen in offensive tackle? What do you expect based on the injury report and what you heard? Jason Peters, do you think they're going to try to give it a go?
I don't have enough information on that to make a prediction. I honest to God, it's here's what I don't know. I don't know what limited participation means. Does that mean, hey, we're stretching? Hey, we got the walkthrough portion. Okay, now we're going to hit up. You're going back into the tunnel to get some treatment.
Right.
So I don't know what that – and that's what I suspect it means, but I honestly don't know. And I worry about a guy his age with that injury. I think he's – I always felt I think we talked about this on Monday. He was more likely to play next week than Eddie Goldman, just because this is a guy that has played as long as he's played. He understands you play hurt, you play through everything. The team needs you, you give it a go. Doesn't mean that he's got it still. Doesn't mean that he's gonna, but he is the old warrior. So maybe you get a sniff of the crowd at the racetrack and the horse wants to run again. I don't know that you could say that about Eddie Goldman, who we haven't seen in a couple of years.
We just don't know. And you may also, Jason Peters may have known when to stop on Sunday night before he made a bad situation worse.
Right.
So because of that experience and because of what you're referring to, he may have prevented himself from getting injured so he would be out longer. And so he just said, okay, I'm shutting it down because I don't want this to become an issue. And maybe if I do this now, I'll have a better chance of playing in week two. Let me ask you this, though. Whether it's Jason Peters or Wilkinson or whoever it may be, Alex Barrs, if he moves out to left tackle, does it matter?
Regardless, you have problems.
Yeah.
Regardless, you need help. You need a tight end out there. You need chipping. You need to figure out a way to protect him in obvious passing situations while not signaling that you're obviously going to pass. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying.
So that's the trick of the whole thing is figuring out whether it's him, Elijah Wilkinson. I mean, he's rough. Alex Barrs, I've not seen at that position. I don't know how that would work. But whoever is lining up and however you're going about it, you're going to have to be very careful to protect that guy and to protect the quarterback via protecting that guy. And you know, it's not like you were without flaw elsewhere. I thought the interior of the line did okay.
Running the ball.
You know, run the damn football running the is ball. The answer. Run the ball outside. Do everything.
What the Bears have shown us, at least in the first four quarters of the season, you know, their offense is rooted in efficiency because it has to be, because they're not going to be explosive. And it's almost to a fault that we can talk about not threatening the, you know, downfield passing game and all those things. But it also speaks to you want to stay out of the obvious passing situations for obvious reasons because you can't protect. Part of that also involves, and I think this is the thinking like a coach right now, you want to avoid senseless penalties. And the best way to do that is if you have, number one, the same five playing, you know, whether it's Jason Peters or you want to stay, but also when you're switching quarterbacks, you increase the likelihood of having this inconsistent rhythm to your offense. And I know that's a little thing, but what is the thing that they've talked about with Justin Fields? Commanding the huddle, getting in and out of the plays, having the right play called and having the right play called in the huddle and then at the line of scrimmage. These are things that if you don't do them right, as silly as it sounds, it increases your chance to commit a penalty and to not be in rhythm, and you can't afford dumb penalties when you're trying to stay out of third and long.
I this is goofy, but I'm going to go back to it. There is often this conversation about the coach in the player's ear, and there was always this talk of when Jim Harbaugh was coaching Kaepernick, that he would be in his ear and tell him, remind him his landmark and all that stuff, and not just call the play, but be able to talk to him. And maybe that was Greg Roman, whoever was in his actual ear. McVay with Goff, they always went fairly early, okay? They always tried to figure out a way to call the play early because they wanted the head coach to have the last vision of what was happening on the, you know, so it's not Goff and what he's seeing, it's the coach in his ear. So let's go.
They're in their nickel package.
Before they shut. Yeah.
We're going to go here.
See this.
They're lining up here.
I can call the play.
Remember
even
the
at
check.
The line of Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why they were going faster, because they wanted McVay to have the last say. They didn't want Goff to have it. And I think that's a really interesting idea. The Bears have a lot of verbiage in what they're doing.
Well,
Are the plays getting in on time? Is the young quarterback capable of understanding what he's been told and getting to the line and getting the – and I don't know, because that's the stuff that you talk about with young players. And I get it. There's young guys playing all over the league, and why are you slowing us down with that? But is the mechanical part of it part of the reason that the guy's not playing?
I think that's got to be part of it. And based on everything that we know – look, there's a lot that we don't know, obviously. We've talked about that. But what we do know about the Matt Nagy offense is that he refers to it as a 300-400 level class. And it's very difficult to expect in this analogy a freshman to be able to grasp right. what a 300-level course is in the Matt Nagy offense. So all the things that you just referred to, yeah, if the coach is in his ear, if he's looking at his wristband a lot, if he's doing a lot of the things that you see a lot of college quarterbacks doing, he needs to outgrow that eventually, but he is only in his second NFL game. It also may contribute to why they're being gradual and not giving him too much too soon. And you can fault the head coach, you can fault the scheme, and you would not be wrong. But it's just an explanation for why they might be more deliberate here, because it is more complex than maybe it needs to be when you have a guy like Justin Fields who you'd think it was, okay, well, let's not overcomplicate things, guys. I'm simply very good, so just let me play.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason that he's not playing, and it's got to be a reason we don't agree with, but it's a reason nonetheless. Hey, we want to remind everyone, listen to Mully and Haw today for your chance to win tickets to the Chicago Cubs versus the hated Minnesota Twins. That's on Wednesday, September 22nd at Wrigley Field, courtesy of Xfinity Mobile. Always fun to be giving things away, and that's a good giveaway. Get out there and just remember the word is boo when you see the Minnesota Twins.
Next Wednesday, Cubs Twins playing for draft status.
There you go. What a sad reality.
That's selling it.
That's selling it hard. You know, there's not many games left.
I know.
Who doesn't want to go out to Wrigley? It's a great time. All right. We have the pick six next. We're going to get to it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you anticipate the Bears opening up their offense at home against Cincinnati? Do you believe the conservative game plan was more about the Rams' defense or the Bears' compromised offensive line? Will they go down the field more at home in week two?
I think they have to go down the field more, so I think they will. And I think that the compromised offensive line against a great pass rusher was the issue in week one. So I think that we will see that... We will see that they are going to be trying to max protect a little bit more, but they got to go down the field. So I guess happy medium. I think the compromised offensive line is a problem. It will be a problem again this week, but I think that they will go down the field and they will try to make more plays. They have to.
I think the Bears were totally intimidated by Aaron Donald. I made the comparison yesterday to Dikembe Mutombo, and it was like he was in the middle of the paint, and no, the Bears were afraid to take the ball to the rim. And that is exactly why they decided not to throw the ball down the field, because they didn't feel like they could protect long enough. So Andy Dalton got rid of the ball in 2.1 seconds on average, or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was fast.
2.1 seconds.
It was
incredible.
Crazy. So this week, got to change, because if they have speedy receivers, let's see it. Let's see that speed, protect them, call some seven-step drops, throw the ball down the field to Goodwin or Allen Robinson or Darnell Mooney. Yes, they absolutely will go down the field because they have to.
Pick six! Wow!
How do you believe Jimmy Graham, or how do you explain, rather, Jimmy Graham playing just 14 of Sunday's 69 offensive snaps for the Bears? Is that okay for a guy who has already been paid $16 million and will be on the books for $1.165 million until 2025?
We can drive ourselves crazy doing the math every time Jimmy Graham's name comes up because of what he has been overpaid to come to Chicago and stay here. The fact that he's still here rankles some people, and I understand why. I think Jimmy Graham's limited snap count has to do with the fact that he's not the focus of the red zone offense as much as he was without Justin Fields. Justin Fields is the focus of the red zone offense. I don't know if that means a lesser role, but it certainly suggests it. Maybe he wasn't healthy. I'm not sure. Maybe he gets more snaps this week, but you have to also, you know, you're developing, in air quotes, Cole Kmet as well. He's your number one tight end. So he's going to get the bulk of the snaps probably outside the red zone. And when you get inside the red zone, maybe Graham plays, but I don't know how much he is the focus of what you're doing. So this may not be a case or a season where Jimmy Graham is as productive as he was last year with numbers that were respectable. I just think it's going to be something where he's there, he's a weapon, but I don't know that they're going to feel like he's their number one option when they're inside the 20.
Then why did they keep him? It doesn't make sense to me. I think he must be hurt. I know Bigsy told us that that Cincinnati plays more single high safety and they probably would use him more as opposed to the split field safeties they faced against the Rams. I hope that's right. It doesn't make tons of sense to bring a guy back and pay him a lot of money and then not use him. So I think he needs to be used, and I would hope that they can figure out a way to do that.
Pick six.
What is this week's over-under on the number of snaps Justin Fields takes, and what would you take? Does Fields score again? What's the over-under on Fields' completed passes?
I like this a ton because Dustin already gave us the over-under. It was 11 in the hook, I believe, and I'll go with the over. I'll go with 12-plus. I think that he's going to throw, you know, if he plays 12 plays, then it's going to be like, you know, 8-4. I think he wants to throw the ball. I think you give him a run pass option and he's going to take the pass. I think he wants to be a quarterback and he wants to be a guide to prove that he's got it with his arm. I think he'll buy time in the pocket if he has to and throw the ball. I don't think unless they're designed runs that he'll just take off. So I would say that that he is more likely than not to throw more than he passes and to play more than 11.5 snaps.
I'll take the over. I think he plays 14, 15 snaps. That means starting a series, which would be a good idea and progression. I think that he probably takes 5 pass attempts, probably is 3-for-5 passing. Let's say that it's maybe that's a little bit low, but maybe completes 3 passes out of 5 attempts. And I think he goes all Daniel Jones on you, and he scores a rushing touchdown. And he is...
So you got him with 10 rushes in the game then if he's playing 15
No,
snaps?
He can hand off.
Okay.
Yeah, he can hand off.
Okay.
I'm not having him like Justin Fields is either going to run the ball himself or throw it himself.
That's
I think
good.
He could, you know,
that
David
might be
Montgomery.
That might be a good idea.
Might not be a bad idea.
Use David Montgomery.
14 snaps, 1 rushing touchdown, 3 pass completions.
Nice.
Scoreboard update.
Very optimistic. From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. Sticking with the Bears news right now, Bears Eddie Goldman did not practice on Thursday, so that does not look good for him being there for the Bears home opener Sunday against the Bengals, where the Bears are favored by 2.5 with a total of 45.5. Thursday night football went to the Washington football team. They beat the Giants 30-29. Dustin Hopkins making a 43-yard field goal on an untimed down after the Giants had jumped off sides and he missed the field goal. The White Sox were sacked by the Angels Thursday. It was 9-3, but that really wasn't the story as Ohtani was hit late and then Tony La Russa ran out to object to his being tossed from the game, the pitcher that is, and then Tony himself was ejected. So we'll see what happens later tonight when the White Sox are down in Texas. They take on the last place Rangers. The White Sox are going to use Dylan Cease, and the magic number sits at 7. The Cubs jumped out to a 7-0 lead, but it was not nearly enough as the Phillies went on to outscore them 17-1 the rest of the way. Kyle Hendricks gave back the lead. Cubs at Brewers starting tonight. They have not named a starter, and you can listen to that game right here on The Score. The Wildcats host Rutgers, Iowa, Purdue, and more this fall. Buy tickets, NUSports.com.
A pick six of 100 yards!
Sticking with the Bears, who wins the Bears-Bengals game and by how much?
All right.
Explain.
I would say Bears 27-23. They win this game because they can't afford to lose it. I think they probably are the overall more talented team when you compare rosters. I'm not saying anything about the quarterback position. It's unfair to compare Justin Fields to Joe Burrow at this moment. He's a lot more polished, a lot more experienced as an NFL quarterback. They have been on the same field before, as you pointed out, in Columbus when they were wearing the same Ohio State uniform. But I think the Bears have every reason to get going here and give the home crowd a reason not to boo, because if they don't win this game and it is ugly, I do think that Monday's going to be a very difficult day in Chicago and I think Sunday's going to be rough at Soldier Field because of the reactions to the crowd, who's just anxious for something good to happen and for number one to play. So I think that, it may be overly optimistic, as Dustin certainly implied, but I'm going Bears 27-23.
If they lose, they're going to be booed off the field. That's the reality of the expectation level of the fans versus where this team is at. I think the Bears can jump into first place in the NFC North with a victory over the Bengals. I think I picked 27-24. I think it's going to be a fairly high-scoring game. But I think the Bears are going to get some touchdowns. They're going to throw the ball down the field a little bit more. Hopefully we can see what this speed at the wide receiver position is all about. I'm not overly optimistic, but I think you nailed it. I think, you know, if there is a team desperate for victory, it has to be the Bears. You can't, you know, I get it. They are remarkable the way they come back from six-game losing streaks. But you can't open the season without giving some hope to the fine folks that go to these games. So it'll be a sellout crowd. It'll be nuts. And the Bears will win the game barely.
That is a pick six.
On the Sox postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago, our guy Ozzie Guillen, speaking from experience, said it would come down to the last minute when making playoff roster decisions. Who might that affect the most? What pitcher or hitter could still get hot and claim a spot?
Well, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of different options and a lot of different players. I think that it will come down to the last minute. I think we got to see more from Dallas Keuchel. I think we got to see more from Ronaldo Lopez. I think that there are some decisions to be made. You know, where are we at with the outfield? Is Adam Engel ever coming back? Is he actually going to vie for a playoff spot? Do you like him that much if he comes back and gets – I mean, he's doing a rehab assignment. That seemingly indicates he's coming back. I think there are a lot of guys that have something to prove to be on the playoff roster. And I'm going to go with seven off the top of my head that could be in or out. So they got something to prove.
Good synopsis, because I think that Ozzie saying that, you stopped and thought, like, oh, yeah. You know, he used the example of El Duque and Brandon McCarthy, you remember, back in the day.
Absolutely.
And it was something that came down, he said, to the last day, to the last minute. Who's hot that weekend? Maybe it's Brian Goodwin. You know, maybe it's Billy Hamilton. Maybe it's Gavin Sheets hitting more home runs. And with pitchers, maybe Evan Marshall finds a way to become relevant again. And he's somebody that sneaks his way onto the roster after being injured for most of the season. Lopez needs to get to correct what went wrong yesterday. Dallas Keuchel still gives him a little hope that this is the start of a trend. I think that you're right in saying there are as many as six or seven spots, including backup catcher, because Zach Collins came up here. They're very open about, hey, let's see what you got, because we already know what Sebi Zavala is going to give us. And defensively, he's ahead of you, so here's an opportunity. Six or seven spots is going to go down to the last day.
Pick six!
What do you think of Kyle Hendricks, both his performance last night and the fact he leads all NL pitchers in hits allowed and has set career highs in runs, earned runs, and home runs allowed? He's also hit a career high 11 batters. Can you chalk it up to the Cubs having a rotation of soft tossers and no real power arms?
I don't know what to chalk it up to. That game was drunk too. My goodness sakes, 7-0. the Cubs led. And you think, okay, this is a snoozer. They went to Philadelphia, took care of business. And then they became the only team in the modern era to have two games this year where they led by seven or more, and then they lost by seven or more. Think about the history that implies. So Kyle Hendricks, the oddity that is his year reflects the oddity that this has been for the Cubs season with all of the long losing streaks and all of the blowouts. This has been a difficult season, and Kyle Hendricks, the ups and downs, certainly nobody epitomizes that more than he does. Maybe because they have too many soft tossers or no real power arms, perhaps, but he's been way too inconsistent and way more than we expected.
Yeah, you know, he is the professor, and you thought that, you know, he was the guy that was going to be their best. He is their best pitcher. But the fact of the matter is that there have been way too many home runs given up. He's just struggled. I think a lot of it is, I think it's the level of soft tossers. Was Alec Mills the pitcher yesterday, and then you come back with Kyle Hendricks? There's not that great difference. It's not like you're, oh my God, you Darvish just struck out 10 guys. Oh, there's John Lester, the lefty, crafty lefty. Oh, Hendricks. It just changes everything when you don't have some other kind of look that's given. So the teams, when you come into town, they're kind of sitting on the soft tosser junk stuff, and then that robs the professor of what makes him so different. So, you know, he probably had issues with location. He probably had issues with a number of different things. But, boy, it's weird to see him. And he's won a lot of games. It was just weird. All right, that is the pick six. We've been having a lot of fun this morning. 3-1-2-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mully and Hawn, the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I think he provides a lot of value now that we're here at this point and we're not in training camp and the guessing game or whatever. And inevitably what it does is it makes when you have a guy like Justin, teams, when they see that, now they got to prepare in certain ways for certain things they may think of or not think of. So it just can help us that way too.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's the voice of Matt Nagy. He is the head coach of your Chicago Bears, and he's talking about Justin Fields, the rookie quarterback, and how you go about using him. And he used a chess analogy after that comment, and I guess the idea is he a bishop? Does he move diagonally? Is he a knight? Are you going to be able to jump a piece with him? Is he a rook, or could he be a queen, able to do pretty much everything?
You know what?
Board?
He's a queen, in the context of the football offense. He's a queen because he is your most powerful piece, and he can do so many different things.
Yep.
And he is a weapon that you have to figure out ways to use, and you cannot limit. That's the big thing, though, because he's not even on the field yet, and we're talking about what they should do when he gets there. But that's the way you have to be prepared, because the confines of the Bears offense that we saw on display against the Rams were there for a reason. They were there to protect everything that happened, the quarterback, the left tackle, from Aaron Donald. And you let Aaron Donald dictate how you ran your offense. When you get a player like Justin Fields playing quarterback, it's the total opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You dictate the terms of what happens next. To do that, you have to take the reins off of the offense and be more open-minded to letting Justin Fields do his thing and be more open to, and not as wedded as tightly as we continue to say, I continue to harp on, you can't be as wedded to your scheme when you have a quarterback that is really doesn't fit into a box. That's not what we're going to see on Sunday, I don't think. I think what we're going to see on Sunday is a plan that they have, even though they haven't shared, for Justin Fields to come into the game at certain times, ideally, in the red zone, ideally, and play about 14 snaps. That's what we're going to see.
I so hope you're right, because I this is what I don't understand. If there's a logical progression to their plan, we start with 5 snaps, then we get to 15, and oh, what do you know? He's starting the second half. Oh, he's the new starter. You know, we saw Jay Glazer say that the Bears wanted to bring him – they wanted to – to not start him for the first four games of the year. Now, I don't know where that comes from or why it's come from or what it is that they think they're going to gradually build to him being the starter. That's the idea. And then he'd be the starter for the last 13 games of the year. Under that, if that is the recipe. But they haven't even spoken about the idea of how they're going to use him or what they're going to do. They want to keep the opponent guessing. I guess that's game plan stuff.
Maybe.
I guess that's some kind. But I mean,
high-level chess?
It's not high-level chess. I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to stay with the analogy.
I know. We've beaten the analogy to death, sadly.
Sorry.
Do you know of the Lewis chessmen? Are you familiar with that whole story? And these are the chess pieces that they used in the Harry Potter series. They borrowed them from a guy at the British Museum who had duplicates made, and they used the duplicates to be the chess pieces that I think one of the guy rides on. At any rate, I always thought Lewis Chessman would be the great name of a character in a novel, right?
It would be.
Because it's Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, Lewis Island, where they found the chess piece. I won't bore you with the story, but you keep bringing up chess. I got to tell you, what's infuriating is the idea that there isn't logical progression. The idea, we're going to use him. We'll use him for a play here. Oh, you know what? Maybe we'll get him six play. That if they could just tell you, we're going to run some series, then everybody would be like, okay, let's watch. When is Justin Fields' time? I think you'd have a lot of people sitting there kind of on the edge of their seat.
Oh, I think so, because I'm curious to see Sunday on the lakefront, 60,000 people there. How many Bears fans are going with the primary hope of seeing Justin Fields, and that hope superseding and overriding every other thing that you want to see? How many people are going to the game caring more about seeing Justin Fields than if the Bears win? Are there people out there like that? I think there are. I think that this is how excited people are to see the debut or the starting debut, or just to see more than five non-consecutive snaps from your first round draft pick. It's been a long time since there's been that kind of excitement over a one player in town. Khalil Mack comes to mind when he was traded here, but it's different when it's a quarterback. So I do wonder how many people are going to the game on Sunday wanting to see that more than any other thing. And I also think you're right. I wonder what the plan is to reward those people who are dying to see Justin Fields. There's got to be more in mind, and there's got to be a commitment level here. And I think that they're close. And the reason we're hearing so many different, I think, possibilities about what's going to happen, whether it's Jay Glazer or NFL Network or whatever, is because I think that there's not a consensus at Hallis Hall. And I think we've heard that this week as well. Don't you think there's division on the staff? And division might be too strong. But there's got to be some disagreement here, or there's got to be some other ideas that are being shared that maybe aren't – I don't know that the Bears have a consensus about how to handle this, and I think that's why you're seeing some of these reports coming out.
Well, I think we know who might have an idea about that. His name is Brad Biggs, and we're going to bring him in next. We'll talk about what's the quarterback plan. What does Biggsy like the over-under? Does he like the over of 11 in the hook or the under? And maybe, just maybe, he runs half a play and the whole thing's a – no, never mind. All right, Brad Biggs next. Biggs time on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.